It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Coffee break's over. Back on your heads. Here we are. It is the fifth day of July, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. And that, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between and the Great Globe Round. Yep. And whatever time it is where you are listening to the podcast, if in fact that's what you're doing. Hi, I'm Robin. And now the weekend, the long weekend is over. I closed it on a positively lovely note last night. The night was clear. It's a little buggy, but that's okay because after I closed the program yesterday evening, Ferg had gotten one of those little. Nothing impressive, like the fireworks with the showers and fountains of sparks and stuff. And my little granddaughter sat on my lap, put her arms around my neck, because she's a little afraid of fireworks. And we watched them at a safe distance while Daddy lit them off. And she looked at me and said, "I'm not afraid of fireworks anymore because you're here." Oh, I melted. And then later she said, "I like the fireworks, but I like the fireflies better." Because the fireflies were lighting up all over the yard, and we ran around the yard and chased some a little bit. And I don't think it gets any sweeter than that. And so those are the moments we have to cherish. Those are the moments that we have to treasure in the midst of all the hell and the horror that is, you know, simply trying to do things like have a parade in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Amen. Right? But if you do pop by the chat room, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky. Hey, Anatole. Hey, Squeaky. Hopefully more will be wandering by later in the program sometime. After the tardy bell. Oh, I'm afraid we're going to have to be passing out detention. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is, of course, no different. And so we say thank you to our fifth day of the month subscribers. And what that means is a hearty thank you to, Kevin in Colorado Springs. And thank you to Billable Rick for jumping in from his previous challenge. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you all so much for being partial sponsors of the program. A lot of bills to pay and a long way to go. What that means is we are, the fundraising goal is at $700. $700 to get even this far, stay even this far into the young month of July. For those of you who aren't aware, I was on the air last night. I did a program, full program. It worked out nicely. I told Scott that we had to go at about 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and by the time we got done wrapping up, I'd done a whole show, and boom, there we were. So, if you didn't know about the podcast, check that out. And by the way, toward the greater idea of like keeping this program on the air, I had a note from our dear friend Rico. Hey there. So after not listening for a couple of shows, I found that I miss you terribly. You've been an important part of my life through all I've gone through these many years. A great voice, a great example of just an awesome all-around person. The Horn community is vital to me, and many members truly feel like a part of my family. Anyhow, I'm proposing a $100 We Are All in the Shooting Gallery challenge. That's it. I have no more words for what this country has become. Love you very much, lovely Robin, and I love all the members of this community, even those I don't agree with. Your buddy Rico in the gray and misty, yet still somehow quiescent Berg. Thank you, Rico. I can't thank you enough. I appreciate your previous note. I understand what had you upset. And I'm not necessarily saying you were wrong in that. I make mistakes here. Others of us make mistakes here. Sometimes we are overly harsh. And, in fact, I think one of the individuals you referenced has, in fact, acknowledged that themselves. But in the end, we try to be honest and true in our opinions and in how we approach the news of the day. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rico. And God, I hope somehow or another, if you just sort of cross fingers and all of that, it'd be awfully nice to meet you if I get to make it up to DeBerg in mid-August for NetRoots Nation, because I've got myself media credentialed and all I got to do is show up. Well, I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, you know, hotel rooms and whatnot. But nonetheless, I hope that opportunity presents itself. And anybody else who wants to swing by Western Pennsylvania whilst I'm up that way. So the We Are All in the Shooting Gallery challenge is on the table, and nothing, truer words have not been spoken. That means that would be an opportunity to knock the fundraising goal down. 10 people at $10 could turn into $200, knocks the fundraising goal down to $500, and, you know, $200 is, well, that's $100 short of one entire show, but those $200 would mean that we were done for last week and actually got started on yesterday's fundraising. So anybody that wants to, please feel free to jump into the conversation. And help keep the conversation going. You know what I mean? I think you do. Matt in San Francisco pointed out to me earlier today that Gavin Newsom has begun punking, just relentlessly, remorselessly punking Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, you know, Governor Ron Death Sentence. It was actually July the 3rd when he tweeted Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, did. We're about to celebrate Independence Day, but freedom is under attack by Republican leaders in states like Florida, banning books, restricting speech, making it harder to vote, criminalizing women and doctors. It's time to stand up. Don't let them take your freedom. Because God knows they will. But it's, and of course, you know, you go to the Twitter feed and there's some grunting, barking maggots like, Florida's not the state infringing on the Second Amendment of the Constitution. And then July 4th happened. And we know a little bit more about July 4th in Highland Park, Illinois. Highland Park, which has served as a backdrop to such iconic films as, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Risky Business. Back, is that before Tom Cruise was a Scientologist? I can't quite remember. Oh, and I meant to put a program note out at the beginning. We've had thunderstorms on and off all day, so there is a substantial likelihood that, given where I live and how we get electricity here, that there's a decent likelihood that the antiquated, rickety, falling apart baling wire and chewing gum wrapper, spit and toilet paper, coal fried power grid, it could go down with the next rumble of thunder. We've had many rumbles. But that's, if the program just goes poof, well, you'll know where it went. You'll know that Appalachian Power heard a thunder rumble and got scared and ran under the bed. Certain irony to it all, though, because it sounded like a war zone here yesterday. Everybody shooting. I think you can actually... The fireworks we can buy in West Virginia now are like, they come with their own mortars, and they make a huge racket. And so there was a lot of that last night. And then today, the clouds rolled in, and it was as though Mother Nature said, y'all made a racket last night? Yeah? Here, hold my beer. And we've had some peals of thunder sufficient to rattle the windows. At any rate, though, a seventh victim has now died after a kid that we know was definitely a maggot. Open fire. And we know more about how he did it now. Bobby Cremo, looked like a comic book villain, for God's sakes. Bobby Cremo got himself a high-powered rifle of some sort. There aren't many rifles that aren't high-powered, but you know what I mean. Victim number seven has passed away. We don't know how many more will. He was, of course, captured without incident. Oh, yeah. And as Lady B pointed out earlier, she wrote and said, you know why white mass shooters always peacefully surrender when the cops catch up with them? Because they know the cops won't apply extra pressure to their necks while they're prone on the ground. Why do brothers run? Because it's rare cops take them peacefully. It's because they know this, so they run anyway. They know they will be roughed up anyway. They know they'll spend a weekend in jail, hungry. They rarely make bail, and their prison sentence is always harsher. Why do brothers run from the cops? Maybe we should hire consultants and professors to write papers about it. It'll get a few mentions, then ignored, but at least we'll know. Knowing is half the battle, am I right? Well, somehow in this case, I don't necessarily think so, Lady D. But he was taken peaceably after he had massacred, after he had done his massacre. Bobby Crimmo, Awake the Rapper. Remember Scott and I yesterday evening talking about him in the Where's Waldo suit? Well, you can see the Trump Make America Great Again banner behind him. Yep, pure maggot. And it's almost like he was working from a script. And the part that gave me the horrors, as if there's some part of this whole thing that doesn't give one the horrors, is the fact that he took up a sniper position. He was shooting from a rooftop. How he got to the rooftop with an AR-15 or some similar weapon, I don't know. But he did. I mean, you heard the video, the audio from the video, the kaboom, 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 kaboom. And, of course, he was, horrifyingly, as is reported, dressed in a... Well, he was camouflaging himself. He dressed as a woman. And that made it easier for him to make his escape. And he went to his mama's house after he committed his massacre. I don't know if she fixed him a cold glass of milk and a PB&J Sammy or what, but he did borrow the car. There's a borrow the car from mama portion of this horrifying set piece. But the right wing is having a goddamn conniption over the fact that he dressed as a... And it was a costume. He's not trans. He doesn't live that way. There are no photos that show him... living out and proud or authentic, living his authentic life. But nonetheless, there it is. And the right wing's having a hissy. And
see, this is why we got to have them our bathroom rules. Because any old feller can just dress up like a woman and go into the ladies' room with their AR-15. Wait a minute. Well, okay. The AR-15s are not the problem. It's the dressing up as a woman problem.
So, you know, don't... If you're paying attention to stories like this, don't be at all surprised when you... When you damned well see it. Because it's out there. It's so out there. I'm checking email at the moment. I saw something and I wanted to make sure that I got it in, but... Oh, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Grocery shopping in America. Yep, just getting some last-minute stuff to barbecue. Having a heavily armed cop in body armor doesn't make me feel any safer. Just reminds me of where I live. And Matt snapped a picture of the back of a guy all in black with tactical combat boots and a gun and a Batman utility belt on his back, and his bulletproof vest on the back reads off-duty officer. Doesn't look very off-duty. And the fact of the matter is, no, Matt, you were not any safer for having him there. But it probably had... it probably has something to do with their insurance policy, and maybe they get lower rates on for having better risk. But you know retail, Matt. Come on. You know. And Matt says, if you're upset and worried about the dressed disguise and not the AR-15, Trump flag, and white loner narrative, you might be a Nazi. Yeah, that's a clue. Yeah, no, don't. Hey, Asa, don't help. Brother Deacon Asa says, you sure it's Awake the Rapper and not Woke the Rapper? Are you trolling Clanny Oakley again? Because that sounds like a very marginal trailer queen thing to say. He was not trans, says Lee in New York. He was a modern day clinger. He put on a dress to escape the situation. The subject line, Highland Park murderer. Lee also asked, can we get the question answered that's on the public's mind? What is his fast food preference? Yeah, we were discussing this on Facebook last night, and I said, it was either going to be Burger King or White Castle. Huh? White Castle? Yeah, see what I did there? Right? Yeah. Thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island answering a portion of Rico's We're All in the Shooting Gallery Now challenge. $80 to go on that. Thank you so much, Charlene. Thank you. More than I can say. And Andy the Angry Jew sent this along. Yep. He was into the idea of murdering some Jews. What a sickening horror. And oh yeah, the other thing that proved to be true, as Andy pointed out, his daddy did in fact run for mayor of Highland Park in 2019 as a maggot Republican. He lost. And gotta kind of wonder what the dinner table conversation was like in that household that would lead to a point where his pencil neck geek son decided to express his masculinity by murdering 7 people and maiming 30 others. Just gotta wonder. Oh, yeah. And, in fact, the rabbi of the local Chabad house said he recognized Bobby Crimo. I think let's stick with Crimo, because it seems like such a perfect name, isn't it? But he had been run off from that aforementioned synagogue, Central Avenue Synagogue. He went there during Passover. And it's amazing to me to think that there was a Robert E. Crimo the second, and or junior, and a Robert E. Crimo the first, and then I guess that'll be the last of the Robert Crimo. But the day that he went wandering into the synagogue, case in the joint, he was dressed in goth style. Or, you know, maybe ninja style, or... Hey! Think about the picture that Matt just sent of the security dude in the grocery store in San Francisco. He was dressed in cop style, in black gloves, wearing a knapsack. According to Martin Blumenthal, interviewed yesterday, he was definitely sizing up the synagogue. Wearing a knapsack, which Blumenthal said after going over to introduce himself, squeezed to check for weapons. Said his name was Bobby and he lived in the neighborhood. I watched him the whole time. And that was the Central Avenue Synagogue. Yosef Shanowitz is the rabbi there. He said that he came by during Passover. One of the people identified is Jewish. Jackie Sundheim, age 63, who coordinated events and used to teach preschool at North Shore Congregation Israel, a Reform synagogue in Highland Park. And another Jewish victim identified was 73-year-old Nicholas Toledo. He came to the U.S. from Mexico in the 1980s, and he loved to fish and swim with his family. Blumenthal said he never turned him into the cops. I profiled him. I knew what he was up to, but he didn't cause a disturbance or anything, so I was just watching him. You know, this is kind of an... We're at a place in America where if you see something, say something. This guy was... this guy was a walking red flag. And somehow or another, he managed to walk in. To a gun store and gun up, and nobody thought to... Nobody... Well, the gun owner, the gun store owner was like, yeah, okay, well, I mean, you know, different strokes. I mean, not everybody wears regular clothes. Some people wear clown uniforms. But he probably wasn't in his clown uniform. That's what makes this so damn difficult. Matt asks, gun violence, are we sure the Hunger Games is fiction? Because this is, it kind of seems like a documentary now. I know. And of course, there's other stuff in the news today. Of course, we don't know if they'll honor it, but lo and behold, some subpoenae have been issued in the state of Georgistan. The Fulton County Grand Jury has decided that it would like to have a little chat with Rudy Giuliani, among others, and, well, Senator Lindsey Graham. Yes. The Fulton County Special Grand Jury has issued subpoenas to Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman and Cleta Mitchell and Kenneth Cheesebro. No, really, Cheesebro. Jenna Ellis. The story was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They came out today. They were issued by Fulton Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney, overseeing the grand jury. And they have to go to him to approve any summons or subpoena for someone who lives out of state. And they're having to fight every step of the way because suddenly what used to be a rather obvious thing, namely, if you get a subpoena, you have to show up, isn't as obvious as it used to be. No. So the Fulton County District Attorney has been in a running battle with former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan and former State Senator William Ligon. And they're claiming that they had some sort of legislative immunity to try to overturn and reverse election results. That's a heck of an argument, isn't it? Will Lindsey show up? Will they manage to serve Lindsey? And how much of a job will that be? Remember how difficult a time they had serving a subpoena on Mo Brooks Les Brames? Until they kind of had to hide out and serve it on his wife there in Huntsville, Alabama, or the greater Huntsville Metroplex area. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And Brian Kemp is apparently going to testify to the same Fulton County grand jury. A sworn recorded statement in which he will testify against Nitwit Nero. The Fulton County District Attorney, the aforementioned Fannie Willis, has said he can testify via video to the grand jury. And again, in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Governor Brian Kemp will deliver testimony next month to Fulton County prosecutors investigating Donald Trump's efforts to overturn Georgia's 2020 elections. But unlike the parade of witnesses who have appeared at the Fulton Courthouse to answer questions in front of a special grand jury, the Republican will instead deliver a sworn recorded statement, according to a letter from the Fulton County District Attorney's Office dated Wednesday and obtained by the AJC on Thursday. The Fulton County District Attorney said they were doing so in a spirit of cooperation with the governor and his schedule. His sworn examination will take place on July the 25th, some not quite 3 weeks from today. They've also been subpoenaed for documents, and they have to turn those over 72 hours in advance of the sworn testimony. And this is, I kind of forget sometimes, this is Titanic Tuesday. So there will be some manifestations of Titanic, what passes for right wing, what passes for intellect. And let's check in with MAGOT member of Congress, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Stan. That outfit, Real America's Voice, and if you include the E in voice, that becomes rave, as in stark raving mad. And he sat down to an interview with a woman by the name of Anna Perez to talk about, I don't know, what do you call it? Issues that matter to Merca. And they were, and when they say issues that matter to America, they're, why does Joe Biden hate Merca so bad? Well, here we go. Get the hockey puck. 3, 2, 1.
And that's part and parcel to the hatred that the administration has, in my opinion, to America, its people, and its military.
Yeah, and I want to get to Ukraine in a moment, but I am curious. I want to follow up with that. So it does seem like, you know, you look at some of the things they're doing with the woke stuff. Of course, there's that. And then also the food. Well, we know that there's a lot of soy products and vegan food, which I'm sure they're pushing on them. I wonder if there's a feminization aspect of our military that they're trying to push so they are weaker, you know, in next to Russia, next to China, not Russia, but I would say China and other countries that potentially could be, you know, real or already are real enemies right now. And it just seems like they want to weaken them. It's kind of hard to not see that. I mean, even the vaccine, there's a lot of adverse reactions to that. People are dying. People are getting hurt. It's like they want to weaken them. They want to feminize our military, if you think about it from a, you know, a food perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Anna. It is a weakening, and it changes the culture. And this gets back to my social experimentation thing. So,
right, an actual, I shouldn't say something like an actual member of Congress, because actual member of Congress doesn't mean much in an era when you have an Andy Biggs, where you have a demon dentist of the desert, Paul Gosar, where you have a Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, or a marginal trailer queen, cue ball. But, yeah, he's a member of Congress, and he just agreed with some babbling twit named Anna Perez that Joe Biden is forcing the American military to eat soy and vegan products so they'll feminize. Oh, God. You know, years and years and years ago, I'd go to this little Japanese restaurant I used to love, and they had a menu item called age tofu, and it was a big hunk of extra firm tofu, and they would batter it and deep fry it real quick and pop it out, and they served it with like ponzu sauce, and I loved it. Oh, it was delicious. Dip it in that sauce and eat the little deep fried hunks of tofu, and you know, walking away, I'd be kind of just surreptitiously looking down at my chest going, anything, girls? You know, this is way before I came out. But, no, but you got to remember that in right-wing circles, And this is the kind of shit that gets started at places like, oh, you know, that website that rhymes with light and fart, or 4chan, whatnot. Insufficiently masculine men are referred to as cucky soy boys. Feminine behaving men are soy boys. Do these fuckers even make a passing attempt at learning history? Soy boys, really? You know, there was that little dust-up we had in the Pacific over the course of, like, late 1941 to, say, summer 1945, almost four whole years. And we were up against an army and a navy and an air force that ate a lot of soy. And they fought us tooth and nail with a degree of ferocity that was actually surprising to the United States military leadership. And the only way we actually managed to beat them was by using a pair of atomic bombs on their civilian populations. They were prepared, some, to fight to the last person on the Japanese home islands. A lot of soy there. A lot of tofu. Edamame? Anybody? No? Damn it! Matt in San Francisco says, that woman gets it. It's the soy that feminizes people through the food via the army by way of the vaccine. Well, okay, I get a little lost, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. They should not allow her to eat gummies before the broadcast. Oh, God, and don't tell her about the ether. The poor thing will figure that out soon enough. Bats! We're in bat country! Jesus Christ. Lee in New York says, living a vegetarian life, just thinking, Paul McCartney. Hey, maggots, it's not like Paula McCartney. The funny part, I thought, was when she sort of corrected herself, talking about the militaries that we would have to deal with. Let me see if I can cue it up to that, because, wait.
And vegan food, which I'm sure they're pushing on them. I wonder if there's a feminization aspect of our military that they're trying to push, so they are weaker, you know, in next to Russia, next to China. Not Russia, but...
Not Russia. Is she saying that the Russian military is a bunch of feminized soy boys out there, and that's why they can't just roll over the Ukro-Nazis? Oh, Jesus. Well, I mean, not the Russians. I mean, you know, they're marching around eating that freeze-dried borscht or something, right? Well, we needed a little bit of Titanic Tuesday stupidity just to take our minds off to stupid. What else? Because there's so much, really. It is kind of funny going back to Ron Monkey up Duplantis. Okay, if not funny, it's at least enjoyable. Apparently, Democratic governors in civilized states have taken to picking on Rona death sentence, the white supremacist adjacent, at least, governor, Florida. Governors in New York City, Colorado, Connecticut, and California have all extended invitations to Floridians who are disgusted with the fascist direction that has been adopted and espoused by the man who only became governor with the help of real, live, no kidding, Nazis and the Republicans who were willing to get in bed with them. Over the July 4th holiday, the aforementioned Governor Gavin Newsom spent $105,000 over on an ad buy. I urge all of you living in Florida to join the fight, or join us in California, where we still believe in freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to choose, freedom to choose, freedom from hate, and the freedom to love. Don't let them take your freedom. Well, it's good that they're softening him up now, because he and Nitwit Nero aren't getting along particularly well these days. Because Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis has decided he's presidential timber. Because he says all the things that the maggots just love. Like, we've got to watch out for critical race theory in the math books. And Eric Adams, mayor of New York, problematic from time to time, the mayor is, went after Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis for the don't say gay law, saying, come to the city where you can say whatever you want. Well, that's great, Governor Adams, but I love New York. It's just really, really hard to live there, not to mention expensive. And Monkey Up DeKlantis didn't have the common sense not to fire back, so he stuck his foot in his mouth and started babbling. They're saying you can say whatever you want, but you know they're the ones that'll force a mask on your face and muzzle you in public. Monkey Up, buddy, you can still talk with a mask on. But the maggots don't want to hear that, do they? No. And, with a Florida judge, a circuit judge in Florida, issuing an injunction against Florida trying to stop abortions, because actually the Florida state constitution contains, according to the Florida Supreme Court in 1989, the right to privacy of a woman. So Ned Lamont gave a video address July the 1st. He said, this may be the time for you to think about taking a look at Connecticut as a place to move your business, a place where maybe your employees feel more at home. Perhaps you feel more at home. Your customers could identify with our values. Jared Paulus out in Colorado said, hey, why don't y'all move Twitter and Disney to Colorado? It's real nice here. I mean, the winters are even pretty. I mean, look at all the rich people who come to Aspen and Vail and shit. I mean, he didn't say. He didn't say and shit. But he did offer Mickey and Minnie full asylum in Colorado, noting that suddenly the free market, the free marketeer Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is... decided he's not quite as free market as he thought he was, because Disney pushed back, albeit tardily, against the don't say gay law. It's just that once you get past the hurricanes, there's something to be said for being warm. I know. I'm being geographically ignorant. Scott in San Diego says, soy must also... Mayor Adams. I thought I said the mayor of New York. Mayor of New York. Maybe I said the governor. I misspoke. We regret the error. Thank you, Lee. Scott says, soy must also fortify patients. I recall reports of Japanese soldiers being found on remote islands, still ready to fight, mind you, in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Well, there is that, too. Yeah, the governor's Kathy Hochul. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. We had a Mitch, a Moscow Mitch sighting again. I wish there were fewer of those. The toxic turtle, the worst, most horrendous, disgusting, repulsive creature to ever come creeping, crawling, slithering, or otherwise sliming out of Colbert County, Alabama, has explained why there's a labor shortage. You ready for this? Titanic Tuesday, after all. He was at an event in Paducah, Kentucky, where the Tennessee River joins the Ohio River and heads on down to the Mississippi at, what, Cairo, Illinois? But anyway, blathering away, there's no word on whether he was speaking in front of one of his preferred backdrops, namely a big Confederate battle flag. You've got a whole lot of people sitting on the sidelines because, frankly, they're flush for the moment. What we got to hope is once they run out of money, they'll start concluding it's better to work than not to work. In other words, the toxic turtle is so divorced from the reality of American life. I mean, he and Elaine probably spend $1,400 on, you know, a single, like, I don't know, gold-plated rent boy to play with at night. But never mind. I mean, okay, Mitch doesn't play. He just sits in the chair with the, like Jerry Falwell Jr. and Becca. But never mind. He thinks that the American people, that American workers, have not run out of money yet. In July of 2022, he thinks that American workers are just sitting around on that whopping $1,400 payment that people got as the reason that a lot of folks have sort of rethought their willingness to bust their ass and give away the precious finite time of their life in exchange for a shitty, shabby minimum wage job. Then again, you've also got a lot of states with legal marijuana now, and that's another background problem. Because there's a lot of places that drug test their employees and make it difficult to even get a job clerking at the Rippy Mart because they can't pass a PP test because maybe 27 days ago instead of 29, they sparked up a number. The funny thing about the toxic turtle Moscow Mitch and this particular latest lie, though, is that between the ages of 25, Americans between the ages of 25 and 54, the employment to population ratio has actually gone above July 2019 levels, you know, pre-pandemic levels. And that isn't just some idle economist out there. Or accountant, that's the St. Louis Federal Reserve saying that. And the problem is that what's happening is people are quitting shitty jobs and taking better ones. And it's the low-wage, crummy, crappy-ass Rippy Mart jobs that that the companies are having the hardest time filling. Because, frankly, they operate on a business model that should probably never have been allowed to exist. Because the business model is predicated on abusive hiring practices, abusive pay scales, where, as often as not, a person can wind up working for the privilege of working. Never mind. The article from Business Insider does note that apparently Americans built up a huge amount of savings during the pandemic thanks to several federal rescue packages. Moody's Analytics estimates that households built up an extra cash cushion totaling $2.6 trillion from the beginning of the pandemic through the end of 2021.
Yeah, now divide that into how many households that is. And I guess they're just out living the life of Riley. And of course, curiously, there came the inflation, because the people that have the real Jed Clampett walking around money realized that actual, you know, day-to-day Americans had a little walking around money, so up go the prices. And what are the windfall profits of the oil industry? Somebody tell me again. Are we somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 billion in a quarter or something? Right. And again, inflation. Oh, Joe Biden, God damn it, Joe Biden! Never mind the fact that one president cannot create that much inflation. Yeah. I mentioned Lauren Bobblehead Boobert earlier, Clanny Oakley. She's terribly, terribly angry at Eric Swalwell, and she should probably, no matter how angry she gets, she should probably not say anything, because, remember, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, is an idiot. I mean, a full-on textbook idiot. Dumber than a handful of hammer handles. What happened was, Eric Swalwell said in a tweet, he put a picture of Lauren Bobblehead Boobert fondling a rifle next to a picture of Robert Bobby Crimo, and said, let's start drawing straight lines. In other words, he deliberately trolled her, and she gobbled up the bait like the hungry catfish that she is. And she got terribly, terribly upset and said, I get that Eric Swalwell isn't a fan of our constitutional rights and is desperate to distract from his repeated political failures, but the only straight line that needs to be drawn is from Eric Swalwell to Fang Fang to the Chinese Communist Party. Now, that's where she went. She doubled down on her right wingery with a little anti-Asian slur. Yeah. Because apparently Eric Swalwell had the unmitigated temerity to have sex with an Asian woman. Oh, no. Quel horreur. And the whole, Eric Swalwell hates our constitutional rights. Eric Swalwell is quite vociferous in his support for a lot of constitutional rights, including the ones that our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties took away from tens of millions, maybe 100 million or more women just a week ago last Friday. I don't know, does Eric Swalwell enjoy doing this? Just knowing that he can just tweak her on her little pink tomato nose any old time. And bobblehead went on, I will make sure that the line gets drawn when we take back the house. Law-abiding gun owners like Robert Crimo. I mean, he was until he pulled the trigger. He was a lawful gun owner, and then he became an awful gun owner. He was a law-abiding law-abiding gun owners won't be smeared and disarmed every time a California failed presidential candidate rolls out of bed with a Chinese spy and tries to blame us for the conduct of others. Of course, in a country with pro-gun rhetoric, every single pro-gun American, every single American who's ever said, yeah, but what about my rights? I'm law-abiding. We got to protect my rights. Every single one of them had their finger on that trigger in Highland Park, Illinois. Plain and simple. Anybody who's ever barked and grunted about, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns, had their finger on that trigger. And somehow or another, I don't necessarily know how, they need to be made to live with that fact. And since we're talking about a California politician, and we were talking about Gavin Newsom earlier, let me introduce you to Brian Dolly. Dale? Why don't people named Smith run for office anymore? Damn it! Brian D-A-H-L-E is the Republican nominee in the governor's race in California. And, he's trying to introduce himself, perhaps along, reminiscent of that one woman who ran for, what, Senate or something in Delaware a few years back. You remember her when she said, I'm not a witch, I'm you. Remember her? Well, Brian he's a state senator from the northeast corner of California, where there just ain't a hell of a lot of people. He's a farmer. Tried to introduce himself to the people of the state by saying, "Well, I'm not a crazy Republican. I'm a reasonable person." Honey, there aren't any of those left. And I'll bet you, if you sit down and start talking to Brian Dolly, you'll find out, it might take 5 minutes or so, but at some point in time, if you ask him, say, about a 10-year-old being forced to carry a pregnancy to term, now you'll find out, no, he's a crazy Republican, too. Because that's all they got left. It was 2006 the last time a Republican won a statewide political office. And that's probably why California is doing as well as it is. And in California, talk about devoutly to be wished. Oh, in California, Democrats outnumber Republicans by almost 2-1. Dare to dream, y'all. Because I did. I saw that number and I thought, my goodness gracious. If Democrats outnumbered Republicans 2-1 in every state in the union, think about where we would be. Think about what we could have. Think about what we could do. Can you imagine a reconstructed Jesus land where low-information voters no longer were so easily swayed by mush-mouthed politicians talking about, oh, our constitutional rights to own an assault weapon is under attack, and how are we ever going to protect ourselves against transgender snipers? Can you imagine that, America? Look at the states that are prospering. They're not Republican states. Look at the states that have horrible, horrible crime problems. Again, they're Republican states. Look at the states with the lowest levels of literacy, high school graduation, the highest rates of teen pregnancy. Republican states. Hell, in California, there's almost as many independents, and that's just a term that means Republicans who smoke dope. Not want to. It's California. They can smoke all the dope they want. And, of course, the Newsom campaign, via spokesman Nathan Click, said Brian Dolly is a Trump Republican who wants to abolish abortion rights, repeal California's gun safety laws, and is searching for any shred of relevance after getting absolutely crushed by Governor Newsom in the primary vote. And, yeah, it didn't even take 5 minutes of talking to him. It was, well, yeah, I did. I voted for Donald Trump, and I'm pro-life. And I'm a proud defender of the Second Amendment and the right of Americans to own guns being far more precious than the right of a fourth grader to become a fifth grader. About the only thing he hasn't done is started barking and grunting about the big lie. And his love for guns isn't universal, however. He wants to make it a felony to steal a gun. Any gun. Even if it doesn't meet the statutory definitions for the value that creates, you know, grand larceny. And he wants to put all the gang members away. No, I mean, you know, the Hispanic gang members and the black gang members. Not so, you know, the white gang members are just so damned hard to identify sometimes. You see how it is? And so he's going to campaign against Gavin Newsom. I mean, this guy is a genius. He's going to campaign against Gavin Newsom on high gas prices. I think I missed the news story how how it is that Gavin Newsom is responsible for high gas prices in California. And he wants to go after the high cost of living in California. Again, probably without any functional reference to what causes the high cost of living. It's not people living in houses or having a roof over their heads. That's controlled by, no, the high cost of living in California has a lot to do with the people with the real walking around money. And so with nothing really to campaign on, he said, the facts are Newsom is a failure. Show me something he's succeeding at. And that's what we're going to talk about. And he wants to suspend the 53.9 cent per gallon gas tax in California. That's going to be great for people who like to drive on roads and stuff. He says that Gavin Newsom is letting people out of prison before their sentences are up because of the state parole board. I mean, the parole board's job is to parole people who seem not to any longer need to be in prison before their terms are up. And I don't know how most Californians feel about it, but he's a real drill baby drill Republican. He wants hundreds of new permits for oil and gas drilling. Yeah, that'll be great. Fortunately, Gavin Newsom probably won't have that much of a problem. No, not Cobra Pile. Well, doggies, that's Jed Clampett, Emilio. Nice try, though. Flavio says, you forgot to mention MAGA states have the highest rates of venereal disease. We don't call it VD anymore, Flavio. MAGA states have the highest rates of sexually transmitted infections, too. Because of, well, you know, you don't want to be teaching the precious little churins about all the diseases they can get from having sex. Because that would make Jesus sad. Ah, Christine O'Donnell. Thank you, Leah, New York. Serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. I'm not a witch. I'm you, Christine O'Donnell. Says Lee in New York. Darlene in Connecticut adding, I love Gavin Newsom's classy commercial bash of DeSantis on Fox News Channel, no less. It's perking up other Democratic governors to consider doing the same. Hopefully establishment Dems will learn a little something about, you know, messaging. It's high time. I'm wondering if Gavin's hinting at a run for president. Sorry, we probably mentioned it, but I've gotten to the program late today and yesterday. Sorry, Joe, but I'm liking the idea. Plus, Gavin's easy on the eyes in a Justin Trudeau sort of way. Hey, I'm not dead yet. Believe me, I get it. I get, and he is. Of course, I do get a little bit of a what when I think, Darlene, about the fact that Gavin Newsom was actually married for a time to Kimberly Gargoyle. You know, the crank lady at the Republican convention. In 2020, who screamed at the top of her lungs, and the best is yet to come. That one, the one who was dancing to Gloria in the executive tent on January the 6th. Well, we all have our youthful mistakes, don't we? No, he is said to be a potential contender in 2024. And that is, you know, that's his choice to make. But I got to tell you, it does not give me the most confident feeling. Sorry about that. I thought I heard a noise outside. No, because, again, I remember the long march of history. And I remember when Ted Kennedy primaried Jimmy Carter in 1980. And how did that work out? Well, I mean, suffice to say, we're still trying to recover from the Reagan presidency. It's going to be a couple of generations before people are trying to recover from the Trump presidency. And in between there, you've got George H.W. Bush and W. Yeah, it's a conversation worth having. What would primarying Joe Biden look like? How do you trash Joe Biden without trashing the entirety of your own party? That just feels like that feels a lot like an ideological purity war. How did the last ideological purity war turn out? I've forgotten what 2015 and 2016 were like. That was great, wasn't it? I'm not being a bitch, Darlene. If Joe decided to step down. Said, you know, gonna go play with my great grandkids. Well, okay. But even that sets up political chaos because, well, Kamala's gonna wanna run. The vice president would naturally feel like she was someone who would have the training and the experience and the expertise to run. two Californians running against each other in the Democratic primary? And heavens, we'd probably get, you know, once that started, you'll probably get six or seven candidates, because it's a damn good hustle. It's a great way to make a buck. I don't know. Maybe we keep an eye on the book release lists. See how many people come out with, how many prominent Democratic politicians come out with memoirs or autobiographies. You know, like the one Christy Noem, Not My First Rodeo. We were talking about that in yesterday's program. But he is easy on the eyes, Darlene. There's no doubt about that. Scott in San Diego, going back to Disney in Colorado. And it's legal in Colorado. I mean, Snow White sitting on Pinocchio. No. Lie, you little wooden SOB. Lie! We've had that joke before. gold-plated rent boy. I don't know why I said that. I kind of regret it, I think. Lee in New York. Labor shortage? I guessed McConnell would have blamed it on too much abortion. Bad pun, apology. Apology accepted. Shame on you. As to Kimberly Gargoyle, Matt in San Francisco says, be kind to Gavin. We all get one free pass for crazy. Yeah, we do. I think I used mine up a very, very long time ago. More than 30 years ago. Makes me a little bit worried. Don't blame Mitch, Matt adds. I don't know about you, but I took that $1,400 and bought a retirement home, a lifetime medical coverage plan, and then invested the rest in stocks. Sure, I did it all on the internet, and the website seemed legit. I'm sure it's fine. It's fine. It's completely fine, Matt. Them $1,400 is they go a long, 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 long way. You know, if you'd taken all of the $1,400 and invested it in Saffron, well, you'd, because saffron's the single most expensive foodstuff on earth. Well, you'd have a lot of saffron, Matt. You'd have a lot of saffron. If Newsom ran for president, Lee says, I'd love to see Republicans scream how the nation would never have a governor of California become president. Thinking about Doc Brown's shock and Back to the Future. Yeah, shock is a good word. Sorry, Jeremy, I didn't mean to trigger you. Jeremy in Vermont said, thanks for that, Robin, I could have gone the rest of my life without thinking about Mitch McConnell ball gag. I know, but if it happens in my poor noggin, well, I gotta share. Sort of dilutes the horror. Ron and Raleigh writes, do you want me to shoot that dead? That's a line from Blazing Saddles. Jalen Walker found out that a traffic stop is a capital offense in Ohio. Allegedly stopped for a taillight being out, young Jalen Walker jumped into his car, fired a shot at the police, allegedly. Then he was chased down by a number of police who fired 90-plus shots at the fleeing suspect, hitting him 60 times. Obviously, those taillights being out are a dangerous problem. After giving young brother Walker a lead enema, he was handcuffed. I'm sure they didn't want him running off with their bullets. The police said they were afraid for their lives when he turned to face them. Jalen was unarmed. My question is, why would a young black man run from the police? Who has a better reason to be afraid in a situation like this? The Akron police have yet to release the names of the shooters. And they probably won't, Ron. Scott in San Diego alluded to that particular story during our conversation yesterday. 60 people. I mean, does that surpass, and I'm not being at all snarky, does that surpass the record that was set for Amadou Diallo? How many bullets did the NYPD pump into Amadou Diallo? And is it bad that I remember Amadou Diallo when I think about a black man being pumped full of police lead? How long ago was Amadou Diallo? I mean, that was early 90s, late 80s? And you still got, in 2022, you still got the Boys in Blue hailing gunfire. 60 rounds? I'd love to see the Akron PD protocols for tail light out traffic stops. Tail light out, please. Vehicular equipment laws are one of the oldest frauds in criminal codes, at least of the modern era.
Yeah, pulled you over because you got.
I mean, I experienced that as a white guy, and somehow or another, I lived to be a white girl and tell the tale. I got pulled over for the license tag light being out. Realistically, how many of us, at any point in time, do a walk around of our, I mean, like if you're a private pilot and you're getting ready to go up in your little Piper Cub or whatever, you do a walk around. Because a failure at a few hundred or a thousand feet or so becomes a lot more catastrophic than, you know, your license plate light is out. I don't know of anybody who checks to see that their license plate, it does not present a threat to public safety. I mean, if you're another motorist and you're toddling along trying to read license plates, you're probably the threat to public safety there because you're not, well, watching the road. I remember that so well. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was one of those things where I had to have Ferg at some at some job of his at some insane hour. And I was driving back through Fayetteville, and Officer Pusselgut put the lights on and pulled me over. And, "You been drinking?" No, I haven't. Really damn tired, but haven't been drinking. "You sure you ain't been drinking?" "Yeah, I'm really sure I ain't been drinking." "Well, your license plate light is out." Is that a symptom of a driver who's been drinking, officer? "You trying to get smart with me?" No, I'm already smart. I don't have to get that way. "I don't like your attitude. I think I need to give you a field sobriety test." "Go right ahead. I could run you in." "Yes, you could." Well, fix that tail light. That license tag. Let's fix it." "Okay, you go. You just go along now. Go get you a cup of coffee." But again, I survived. A similar circumstance got Jalen Walker all dead. You know, maybe we need to revisit the vehicular codes, simply because, and I don't know how it is for you, but with a lot of vehicles now, having a taillight out means that you often have to replace an entire assembly sometimes. It's not just a matter of buying a little bulb down at the auto parts store and pulling the old one out and popping the old one in, because technology. The bulbs are more expensive, too. And that's what Lady B was talking about earlier this evening when she sent a graphic along. On exactly that topic. You know, white shooters, black shooters, and the excuses. Hey, stand by. Sorry about the interruption, but that was Malloy on the phone, and I'll be covering for him this evening, and he was actually calling to see if I would cover for him tomorrow evening, too, and I said, of course, yes, and he sounds like somebody who's got a really, really badly congested, you know, cold or something, but he's taking his antivirals, and he's just at the I feel like crap stage of the proceedings, so I'll be covering for him this evening. Tara and I will be covering for Mike this evening, and then I'll see what tomorrow brings. Going back, though, I'd mentioned, you know, that Jalen Walker and Lady B sent along a graphic. It involves stick figures. There's a brown stick figure holding an AR-15 and a line pointing to it, and the word, all caps, TERRORIST! And there's a black person, line pointing, also holding an AR-15, and the line pointing to that person says, THUG! And then, of course, there's a white person holding an AR-15, and it says, a complex individual with specific mental health issues who was kind to his neighbors and friendly to his work colleagues, who surprisingly had literature in his his possession. And then it just fades away into nothingness, you know, because there are always excuses for some people who, I guess, deserve excuses. 1999, Amadou Diallo, 41 rounds. Flavio says, I remember. Lee says, 41 rounds. Of course, Bernadette says, Amadou Diallo was fired upon with 41 rounds and shot a total of 19 times by four New York City Police Department plainclothes officers. So they fired how many rounds at Jalen Walker and hit him with 60? How many members of the cop gang were there? That's not a police involved shooting. That's a police involved execution. One round's enough. 60 rounds is what Ron and Raleigh said. 60 rounds is capital punishment for a taillight out. Sorry, Darlene. Ew. Kimberly Gargoyle? No! Newsom's married to a beautiful lady now who appears to be the total opposite of the gargurgle. Hey, that's good. Even Keith Olbermann dated Laura Ingraham. He lasted 3 days with her, but, you know, youthful indiscretion. He said she's smart and evil. No bitch slapping here. You're right. Gavin may not primary Joe. But we don't know if Joe will run or can. Kamala is in a shitty position. I'm sorry, but Joe's keeping her in a pit. I think she may have made a mistake taking VP, but anything can change in the next few years, catapulting Gavin to the forefront. We just don't know. And who knows, but some unknown Democrat may pop out of, you know. Kind of think about Gretchen Whitmer. I still think she'd be great. But, of course, she's been so, well, they've been doing the opposition research on her since before she won her election in Michigan. My theory on the gunshot, the unproven gunshot, Jack in Shreveport says, that was the guy that had just gotten married, wasn't it? Yeah, my theory is the muzzle flash was the LED flash of a cell phone taking a pic, which may have been inadvertent while trying to record a movie or an unnecessary flash by the camera. Well, look, it's like the story out of Farmington Hills Police Department in yesterday's program. They've got interchangeable things to put in the black people's hands for their cop shooter assessment training. But we also know from the history of police violence against people of color that anything from a cheesesteak to a cell phone, a wallet, Skittles... Well, okay, that wasn't the cops. That was George Zimmerman. But you get the idea. There's nothing about a black man that doesn't scare a cop into a state of water-boweled frenzy. 41 rounds and only 19 hit. Only. Yeah. Ralph's reminds me of Bruce Springsteen's iconic song, 41 Shots. And by the way, I have filibustered half of the program away, as is all too often my wont. If you would like to get involved with the program, lines are open, of course. The stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. You can also get through on Skype with a regular telephone call. That's 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. And then, of course, just plain old Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn for anybody new to the program who's never attempted a call. You're welcome to jump right in. We've got $75 to go on Rico and DeBerg's We're All in the Shooting Gallery Now challenge. That would take our fundraising goal down to $500 if there are 10 people out there with $7.50 or 7.5 people with 10. That would get us down to something more, well, it would help a lot. And I'm sorry to constantly harp on this, but, well... it amazes me when I think about the programs that have come and gone since this program went on the air. All of Air America. A lot of folks. Because this is not easy. I mean, it's not 15 miles on the Erie Canal or... no. But maintaining a radio program consistently over that long a period of time, well, it does take a little bit of determination and perhaps no small amount of luck. Oh, I knew somebody was going there, and Ron and Raleigh, you got there first. Kamala in a pit. Thanks, Darlene. Does Joe put the lotion on her skin? Oh, that movie. You know, it's a great movie. It's Silence of the Lambs, but... And I love how they went to the great lengths that they did to have Hannibal Lecter explain that what Billy isn't really a Tran. Because he couldn't pass all the gatekeeping tests to allow him to transition back in the 90s. It puts the lotion on its skin. Yep. Absolute horror shows. Thank you to Women Standing. Thank you so much. We are down to $65 to go on the We're All in the Shooting Gallery challenge, together challenge. And Ralph's has jumped on as well. Thank you. So that means we are down to $55. Thank you for responding to Rico's challenge. Jalen shooting comment, humor version. The cops did not plant a gun in Jalen's car. It was his. Heard on the grapevine of his friends and family was that the brother was trying to use it to register to vote. I get it. Hard to do. It's just hard to do. Eight officers were involved in the shooting of Jalen Walker. Eight officers, 90 rounds fired, 60 bullets struck him, and he was unarmed. I hate this shit, Bernadette says, and I do too. And he was unarmed. There was no gun on him when they dumped their clips into him.
See, that means the liberal don't even understand about what a gun is. That's not a clip, that's a magazine.
Yeah, whatevs. Straw man again. But, you know, they make those arguments.
You ain't got right to have opinion about guns, but you don't even know what every last little piece of a gun part is.
Now, we know how it is with me and Cyphron, but last I checked, this isn't that much of a challenge. You know, 90 divided by 8 is 11.25 rounds per officer. Per cop. And if we're talking about a standard issue police sidearm, it probably has something on the order of at least a 12 round magazine. Glock 19, Glock 17, those are 17 rounds. So let's assume a sidearm with 17 rounds in it. That means on average, out of eight cops shot basically 2/3 of their firearms capacity into Jalen Walker or at Jalen Walker before they realized that they could stop shooting him. And I'm guessing at no point on the police video are you going to hear any cop say, hey, this is excessive. No, they just stopped shooting. They call it into the station house or the precinct or what the hell ever it is, and they say, get my cop union lawyer on the line. And could you call home and tell my wife to start planning that Disney trip we were going to take, because I figure I got about at least a month of paid vacation without having to show up to work. Let's go to Disney World. I wish I was kidding. You remember what was his name? Brett Hankinson, who was in on the slaughter of Breonna Taylor. Yeah, he took his family on a Florida vacation while he was on administrative leave. Because that happens. Well, thank you, Nina. Nina says, great show, Robin. Thank you so much. So that gets us down to $40 to go on Rico's challenge. $40. Thank you so very much, Nina. So kind of you. And we all do appreciate it in so very much. So there's $40 remaining. 10 at 4, 4 at 10, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And let's... we're down to 30. Thank you, Matt, in San Francisco. I'll throw in $10. I made it out of the grocery store alive. Things to be thankful for in America in 2022. Yeah. It's kind of like you come through the door in 2022 America and you pulled through. And I'm not making light of it. It can happen anywhere. Jesus, that story from yesterday talking about how the kids help the grown-ups because the kids have been pre-traumatized for gun violence so that they knew what to do. Or, you know, the parents who drop their babies in a dumpster thinking that maybe it might be kind of like armor to protect their children from this son of the Republican MAGA nominee for mayor of Highland Park, Illinois. After 60 shots, Matt observes, what was left of the man to be able to cuff? Ugh! I was wondering the same thing. Because most of these guys are either carrying 9mm weapons, or they are carrying a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson. Maybe some of them were carrying 45s. And frankly, kinetic energy of a 45 caliber round, especially a cop round, like, okay, gun stuff, I know, don't care. But there's some relevance here. The most popular caliber and the most available caliber of handgun in this country is a 9mm. There are lots of 9mm. And your standard Plinkin round can run anywhere from 90 grain to 110 grain bullet. Here's the thing, though. The rounds that cops tend to use, there's one company called Hornady, H-O-R-N-A-D-Y, and they make a 9mm round called Critical Duty. They make one called Critical Defense. That's for supposedly civilian use. It's 120, 125 grain bullet. But the Critical Duty round is, I think, 145 grains, and it's a hollow point with a plastic ballistic tip in it. Maybe it's nylon, and it's meant to do maximum damage. A 45 caliber round is like 240 grains. It's a huge bullet. Muzzle velocity is very low, relatively speaking, and it's less accurate at the further out you are. But the thing is, all of these bullets, and this is gross. This is horrifying. This is triggering. Content warning. I'm sorry. But all of those bullets hitting Jalen Walker at the same time could actually serve to make him look like he was still moving. Or that he was still engaged in some sort of attempt to continue being alive. It's an absolute horror to contemplate. 80 rounds, 60 of them hit. And we will probably never see the video. And in many ways, I think it's probably for the best that we don't, except to the extent that we damned well deserve to know just exactly how murderous those cops were. But God, God. The cops who shot Jalen Walker, didn't I see some of those officers at the beginning of Men in Black? I know. Best of the best of the best, sir. You know if you were half the man I am half the man you are. Get on this. What did Will Smith? Get on this. Get on the treadmill a little bit. So. Yeah, one of the realities is that Bobby Crimo had been planning the attack for weeks in Highland Park. And further proof that John Fetterman has a hell of a lot of guts, the Democratic nominee for senator from Pennsylvania. He's on the mend from his atrial fib event, the stroke. And he issued a statement today. And he said, speaking of his spouse, he said, Giselle and I are heartbroken for the victims of these shootings and their families. We wish both law enforcement officers who were injured in the Philadelphia shooting a safe and quick recovery. Democrats in the Senate need to scrap the filibuster and immediately pass common sense reform. There's a sad irony about our country experiencing multiple mass shootings on a day that is meant to celebrate its greatness and our freedom. Yeah, because there was more than just Highland Park yesterday. On a day that's meant to celebrate its greatness and our freedom, the unfortunate reality is that yesterday's shooting was not an outlier. Just several weeks ago in Philadelphia, 3 people were killed and 12 were shot in one of the city's most vibrant areas, which is a stark reminder that no one and nowhere is immune to gun violence. And while these shootings receive national attention, they pale in comparison to the relentless gun violence afflicting people in their neighborhoods every day. We cannot and must not become numb to this ever-increasing gun violence. That's why we're talking about it this evening some more. Washington needs to act and take on the NRA by shutting down and prosecuting gun dealers whose weapons routinely wind up at crime scenes. Democrats in the Senate need to scrap the filibuster and immediately pass common sense reform like universal background checks for all gun sales and a ban on military-grade assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Meanwhile, his Republican opponent, Dr. Oz, Mehmet Oz, he's campaigning against liberal gun grabs and is braying about how proud he is to be a member of the National Rifle Association. And see, there's a problem, though, for Dr. Oz, and that is that in the past he's actually talked about some gun control stuff, and when he got called out on it, he said, when people say I won't support guns, they're dead wrong. Maybe not use dead wrong in that context, Doc Oz. No, continue to use that. Use all the please feel free. Use all the inappropriate and problematic and uncomfortable language you can come up with, by all means. By the way, now that more pictures from Bobby Crimo's online life have come out, one of them, of course, shows him in a pair of white Adidas track pants with the Adidas stripes down the side. And what's he wearing for a cape? Why, yes, it's a Trump flag. Because, of course, it is. He'd made it to North Chicago on Highway 41. And finally, a cop saw the car after the APB went out. Had to chase him down. That's the interesting thing. He ran. Bobby Crimo III ran. The officer chased him. Other officers moved in to stop him. And then this line, because of course, they were able to get him stopped and make the arrest without incident. White Castle. No, they didn't take him to White Castle. But I don't think there are any mug shots of Bobby Crimo with his face more purple than white. I don't think, oddly enough, that any of the cops felt compelled to, well, say eight cops felt compelled to dump roughly 11 rounds apiece into Bobby Crimo. He released his first album as Awake the Rapper in 2016. And the video, a video that he put up to go with one of his songs, contained a cartoon of a school shooting and pictures of himself in school. He was on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, but the minute his name was released, that all disappeared. His daddy ran a sandwich shop, Bob's Pantry and Deli. And, Bob Crimo, daddy, doesn't have as big a social media presence as his boy did, but, he's liked a few tweets that are kind of decidedly right-wing. Let's see, it was May 11th, 2020, when the White House, you know, Nitwit Nero, he did one of his little shit shows. And he wouldn't let women ask him any questions. And one of the reporters he called, "You're nasty, you're nasty." Bob Crimo responded, "Nice way to end the press conference. I love it. 2020. He made songs like I Am the Storm, and another song was called Brainwashed. One of his videos contained his words, "Like a sleepwalker unable to stop and think, my actions will be valiant, and my thought is unnecessary. I know what I have to do." And this stuff was all out there for all of, It's kind of like the Uvalde shooter. He'd been harassing young women online. Vulgar, vicious, nasty, revolting business. And the young women did what they would be expected to, you know, they reported him to the particular social media platform. And the social media platform never called the cops. And that's how mass shootings, what, incubate? Silence? Leave it to none other than that website that rhymes with light and fart to jump right out there and defend the gun. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was decidedly angry when he talked about what had happened in Highland Park. He said, grief will not bring the victims back, and prayers alone will not put a stop to the terror of rampant gun violence in our country. I will stand firm with Illinoisans and Americans. We must and we will end this plague of gun violence. Well, this was something up with which the website that rhymes with light and fart would not put. They said, as light and fart news previously reported, the local jurisdiction of Highland Park already banned assault weapons and magazines with more than 10 rounds of ammunition, and the U.S. Supreme Court rejected a challenge to the law in 2015. And back at the time, a legal analyst for Light and Fart News said, Highland Park has a long track record of opposing citizens exercising the Second Amendment's right to keep and bear arms. Assault weapons are not an actual class of firearms. The term is often confused with assault rifles, which are a class of firearms. But for most such bans, assault weapons exclude some types of assault rifles and includes guns that are not assault rifles. Well, how is it then, noble pleader, that when we had an assault weapons ban previously, crimes committed with assault weapons went down, you know, dramatically? And then finally, the folks over there at the website that rhymes with light and fart said, Pritzker concluded his statement with a call to end the terror of rampant gun violence in our country while stopping short of any gun control policy prescriptions. Wait, you hate him because he talked about the fact that we need to do something about this, but then you're mad at him because he didn't say specifically what he wanted to do? I mean, but then again, this is who they are. Isn't it frustrating, tiresome even, that we have so many of these shows about so many of these mass shootings? Isn't it horrifying? I mean, I've got other stuff in the stack that's like, wow, that's interesting. Or there's news out of the war in Ukraine and the impact that it's having on worldwide wheat prices. You know, the U.S. does not buy any wheat from Ukraine or Mother Russia. No. But they do sell to the entire world. And it has had a market impact on the price of wheat. And because, well, globalism, it's a global market. So consequently, we feel the price, the price increases here too.
Yeah, but it's Joe Biden's fault.
Sure is. Yeah. I don't know. Can we find something? Oh, this. Something a little positive. Proud of this young woman. A young woman put a video up on TikTok, and she said that she had recently received a jury summons. In her TikTok video, she said, "I was summoned for jury duty. As a woman in my 20s, this is what I had to say. Am I wrong, though?" She sent an email to the jury coordinator and said, "Good afternoon. I left a voice message as well, and I'm following up by email. My name is," and she gave her name, and she said, "and I was summoned to serve from July 18th through the 22nd. Apologies for the short notice, but I will not be attending jury duty. In light of the Roe v. Wade and other basic human rights continuing to be taken, I no longer live in a country that serves me. Therefore, I do not feel comfortable serving it. Being part of the jury service at this time would put me in extreme emotional distress, not to mention my opinions would be completely biased. I hope you understand and are able to find another United States citizen that is actually proud to be such. Feel free to respond with any follow-up questions. Sincerely." I took courage. And, you know, whereas if you're, say, one of the henchmen who was behind an attempted coup, a putsch to overthrow the constitutional governance of the United States, and you've gotten a subpoena, and you've said, "Ah, fuck that, I'm not showing up. Congress can pound sand." I'm guessing some judge will probably drop a hammer on her and insist that she at least show up. She captioned her video, "This is the saddest email I've ever had to write." And then she wrote, "Stay tuned to see if I'm held in contempt." Well, the judge probably will. As over 2.1 million people have viewed the video as of today. One person reminding her, "I completely understand. I'm protesting in my own ways, but I needed someone like you in the jury when I had my sexual assault trial. Your voice matters here." Good in theory, but imagine if this was a case in which a woman was being tried for an abortion. We need liberal POV. Another person said, "As someone who works in criminal defense, jury duty is extremely important and does not serve the greater U.S. It serves people who need to be heard." Another viewer of the video said, "I got one too. On the exact day Roe versus Wade was overturned, I'm using this as a template because I wanted to write back similarly." I applaud her courage. I hope she knows how much courage she's showing by being an ordinary woman trying to stand up against the vast and merciless judicial system of this country. But it looks like maybe she took Dobbs seriously. Maybe she even read the dissent. I haven't said the magic quote yet today, now have I? Well, I would not want to break a string. From the point of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. Wouldn't it be fascinating if there was an outbreak in this country of people, women particularly, who said, "I will have nothing to do with a judicial system that says I have no rights"? Or would that just give them an excuse to take that right away, too? Here's a question. Once the Confederate states, the Jesus Land states, really get moving on all of this, will a woman charged with murder for a miscarriage They're going to go that way. They really are. It's not a joke. Have a right to a jury trial? Or maybe it'll, or will it just be a panel of old, pasty-faced, doughy white men sitting, and maybe a couple of self-hating women sitting in judgment of her? Hell, maybe they can just get a cadre of priests from the local parish, or the diocese. We're headed that way. You know, I mentioned, I think, yesterday that I heard, maybe it was This American Life, and they were talking to some braying black-robed monstrosity at a backyard barbecue to celebrate the end of women's rights in America. And, well, part of that entire program had to do with talking about where they go next. And we talked about this on when it was happening in real time with a legislative session in Missouri, old Missouri, the fact that the next fetish fad, whatever you want to call it, in Republican misogyny politics is to try to limit the mobility of women. God, I'm so old that I can remember when it used to be really, really infuriating to contemplate, say, the noble and puissant, serene, high, gracious kingdom of Saudi Arabia, where a woman cannot leave her house without being accompanied by some dude. We all, we're headed that way. It's going to be the same old patriarchal misogyny, just different symbology. I mean, after all, these people already participate in a religion that in many instances requires a woman to cover her filthy, sinful hair so that God won't get a sad. Fuck. Fuck them. But no, really, limiting a woman's right to mobility. The amendment that was offered in Missouri, by a self-hating woman, by the way, would have made it a felony for a pregnant woman to leave the state of Missouri. You know, with the intent to go have an abortion. Don't know how you'd go about proving that intent. Maybe it would be self-proving by virtue of how, but then again, how's the state going to know she was pregnant? And how's the state going to know she wasn't pregnant when she got back? Well, the state will use the investigative powers, the massive investigative powers that it has. That's the simple answer. They'll subpoena documents from doctor's offices. And you will find out at that point in time how little protection there is in HIPAA. Remember all the COVIDiots and the mask holes? I'll have to tell you if I've got the vaccine because HIPAA. Remember? Courts can get that shit. But that's one of their next fronts, because there are already pre-existing laws on the books that make it a crime to take, say, an underage person, boy or girl, non-binary, whatever, out of state for illegal or immoral purposes. What's it called, just generically? The Mann Act, M-A-N-N? And that's about crossing state lines, usually with young girls who happen to have been victims of sex trafficking. But that's the, and so using that framework, they will say that a fetus, or maybe just a sort of shrimp-looking wad of cells, is a fully vested American citizen and a child, and has been taken across state lines for purposes deemed to, oh, let's say, Missouri, to be immoral or illegal. What if you've got to, and those statutes have actually withstood scrutiny in terms of child sex trafficking, prostitution, that sort of thing? Do you think that old Missouri won't pass something similar? Idaho, Arizona Stan, Oklahoma Stan, God knows, Texas Stan, because they will pass that kind of garbage. And we now have our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties to tell states that they can do it. But speaking of Texas, riddle me this, Batman. How in the hell is Greg Asbot still leading Beto O'Rourke by 49% to 41%? But the good news is he's gaining. That's up from 46% to 39%. The poll was taken between June 22nd and 27th. And what the fuck is wrong with people in Texas? Yeah, John Bridivo would probably have a better take on that than me. Nonetheless. I mean, Greg Asbot has been under considerable heat because of how he handled events in the follow-up after the Uvalde massacre. In that same poll where it's, what did I say? Where it's 49% to 41%. In that same poll, though, 55% of the respondents said that Abbott did a bad job after Uvalde. 45% said he did a good job. But, of course, the Republican, a majority of Republicans, when you pull the Republicans out standing alone, oh, I think Greg Abbott's doing a great job. MAGA, y'all. Interestingly, in the same poll, though, 65% of the respondents, all registered voters, said that they have a disapproval they generally disapprove of John Cornholio, the senior senator from Texas, in terms of how he represents Texans' rights as regarding guns. And that's because he voted for that pathetic, relatively meaningless piece of legislation that got through the Congress. It was still hailed as groundbreaking because it was something about guns. Curiously enough, 58% of Texans in the same poll also disapprove of Ted Cruz. But that's understandable because, as a general principle, when you go into your bathroom, you know, you've got the plunger sitting there in the corner back behind the potty, and you generally look at it and go, ooh, gross. But when you need it, it's there and you use it. And that's Ted Cruz. Nobody likes him. Most people loathe him. But when right-wing POSs need him, he's there to be used. Ted Cruz, human plunger. Curiously, the Texas poll still showed that most Texans actually support red flag laws and a ban on semi-automatic weapons and restricting the age to buy an AR-15 to something besides 18. Go figure. Come on, Beto. Keep moving. Keep going. And he will. He will. Listen, we've got about 50 minutes remaining in the program. We got $30 to go to meet Rico's challenge. And if we could meet Rico's challenge, that means we'll have $100 to go to make one whole day of funding for this ongoing independent liberal broadcasting effort. One whole day. But a little good news. This is nice. You know, there's still a lawsuit pending by Dominion Voting Systems against both Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and Fox Corp, the parent company. The case is being heard in Delaware. And recently, Dominion Voting Systems survived a motion to dismiss. And Delaware Supreme Court Judge Eric David said, no, this case is going on. He made a finding that it's reasonable to infer that Rupert Murdoch and his son Lachlan, this is important, either knew or recklessly disregarded the truth when Fox brayed and blathered and bleated all the big lie of Nitwit Nero. It's kind of a big deal. Recklessly disregarded the truth. And Dominion's also in the process of trying to make sure that Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and Newsmuck also maybe get shuttered. Reporting on the whole litigation thing, Constitutional law professor at Stetson University in Florida and a fellow of the Brennan Center for Justice, speaking to The Guardian, said, Dominion has a very strong case against Fox News. The conspiracy theories about Dominion's machines were just pure bunk. Fox, as a news organization, should have known that and not given this aspect of the big lie a megaphone. And also in the pleadings, as she noted, Dominion nicely as, you know, can be done, asked Fox to stop lying and to correct the record. But even after they were put on notice that they were disseminating false information, they doubled down by continuing to spew the poison. And one of the things that makes it particularly delightful is the fact that what may come in as evidence is the fact that, you know, employees of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, personalities, you know, that life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job, were engaged in a pretty feverish email back and forth over the very subject of the lawsuit, namely the big lie. And even with that going on, they still kept lying. Angelo Carasone, who works at Media Matters, he's the chief executive there. He got his start taking down Flush Flemball, or trying to. I think it was the Flush Rush campaign. And I think he was just a law student at the time. I remember I had him on the program. And he talked about the work that they were doing. Well, he's running Media Matters now. And he said that, I think once you start to pull the discovery material, what you're going to find is there was a lot of communication between Trump people, both internally and externally, about pushing very specific lies and narratives. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair guess. Meanwhile, Fox trundled out their spokescreep, who said, oh, we are confident we will prevail in this case, as the First Amendment is the foundation of our democracy and freedom of the press must be protected. But the thing is, that language, you know, that's the best face they can put on it. but that language that Judge Eric David used in Delaware, saying that a jury could reasonably find that Murdoch and Lachlan flat out knew what they were doing was a lie, or else that they recklessly disregarded the truth. That's the part where the First Amendment no longer protects freedom of the press, because there is no freedom of the press to recklessly disregard the truth, or to know or should know you were doing same, as we occasionally remark on this program. Gosh, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Of course, you could, you know, in a way, it's a little bit like the Exxon Valdez litigation. This is something that really should support a massive punitive damage award. And of course, the critical word in punitive damages is punitive, because it's not like the typical damages where a defendant will be compelled to pay damages for the actual harm they did. It's when their conduct is so egregious, so over the top, so bad that the jury is entitled to basically write down the number one and start adding zeros until their wrists get stiff, solely and entirely for the purpose of punishing the tortfeasor. And of course, the right-wing Supreme Court under, God, going all the way back to Berger and then into Bill the Junkie Rehnquist, and now old Balls and Strikes. Well, they've watered down punitive damages to the point that juries almost can't punish a tortfeasor. But it could still send a hell of a message. And one can only hope that that it does. And so much of this. Good on New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. He signed a package of bills today to try to increase gun safety in that state. Here's hoping they work. He signed the bills at Metuchen, New Jersey. And signing the bills said, these are not going to be our last words on gun safety. Prohibited now in New Jersey is the sale of a 50 caliber rifle. Also mandated is training prior to a gun purchase. The state will now track ammunition sales and require micro-stamping technology so bullets can be traced to particular weapons. The legislature passed this stuff on June the 29th to a backdrop of howling and pissing and moaning and groaning from, of course, Republicans. Well, this is going to punish... this is going to punish you responsible gun owners day. I'm sure that's a terrible accent. I apologize. Utterly oblivious on June the 29th to the fact that a lawful, presumptively responsible gun owner... you notice how they've shifted from lawful to responsible? The problem is, you stop being a responsible gun owner the minute you fire at another human being. there is actually probably no honest way to be a responsible gun owner. Because as long as you're barking and grunting about your goddamn rights to a goddamn gun, because you're a goddamn pasty-faced, doughy pissant, well, you're doing so oblivious to the fact that we could end this epidemic, this pandemic of gun violence, if all the responsible gun owners just cared more about their children than their guns. We could do something.
Yeah, but then what happens when the jackbooted government comes to put their jackbooted jackboots down on my freedom-loving neck, where I got that tattoo what says only God can judge me?
The solution, as is quite often the case, is a hell of a lot simpler than we maybe deliberately make it out to be.
What about the responsible gun owners?
How responsible are they? Can you be a responsible gun owner and never have had a single class in how to handle a firearm? Because I'm guessing the answer to that is no. I knew somebody would take issue with me at one point or another. And, of course, it was, I don't mean of course in a bad way, it was Flavio, our practitioner of the art of word knowing, puissant. Flavio said, Flavio had a question about the pronunciation. Oh, okay, both pronunciations are okay. Puissant, puissant. I usually use the first pronunciation, which is closer to the French puissant. You use the second pronunciation, and I almost didn't recognize the word. Puissant. You will be, curiously enough, I pronounce it that way because that's the way I learned to pronounce it in dealing with, like, Elizabethan English. Puissant enters the English language in the 15th century, I think, and does come from French. And it got mangled and mispronounced in the trip across the channel. Pretty sure it appears in Shakespeare, because I'm pretty sure that's where I heard it as puissant, because it scans. Because iambic pentameter. And there's one more syllable in puissant than there is in puissant. Right. Thanks, Flavio. No, the videos are out there. Thank you. Thank you, Bernadette. I didn't know that the videos were out there of Jalen Walker. I reluctantly share this with you. It's the official Akron PD release. There are 13 body cam videos at the end. Extremely graphic. Please don't watch them all. It will be hard to watch even one. I mean, hell, it's hard to watch video film footage of war violence. How much more horrifying when it's an unarmed young man who has done absolutely nothing to warrant summary capital execution for having a taillight out. I read somewhere Flavio says that Akron cops have automatic weapons. They have automatic pistols that can fire multiple rounds per second. I can't imagine a sidearm that does that. Just squeeze it. But if somebody can dream it, a gun manufacturer can make it. Jeremy in Vermont, going back to Jalen, with some grim sarcasm. He may have been hopped up on that super drug, you know, the marijuanas. We originally outlawed it for the very non-true fact. You know, the authorities claim people with a higher melanin count got more strength when high. Yeah, that was actually the origin of the 357 Magnum round. The 45 ACP just wasn't getting it done. Smaller bullet, but a hell of a lot more powder behind it. I know, Ron in Raleigh says, time to run the gunsplainer again. If you don't know the difference between a clip or a magazine, you have no right to talk about guns. If you haven't heard the police chasing Jalen, they were calling him everything but a child of God. Mitt Romney was concerned. Jude says, you're bringing to light the murder of this young man. Reminded me of the dialogue shared yesterday with Scott on air and the shooting target's focus. Having a specific visual, i.e. a person distinguished by race, brought me back to that discussion. Well, when all of your problems look like nails, all your solutions will look like hammers. Emilio says, future president material, Fetterman, Dr. Oz's NRA card is so fresh the ink rubs off on his fingers. Is Ozzy the plural of Oz? Well, is the full name Ozymandias, King of Kings? Look on me, you mighty, and despair. Probably the only broadcast radio program this evening to bring up that poem by Shelley, was it? Ozymandias? Okay, well, there's something else I mispronounced. Thank you, Lee. Metuchen, New Jersey. Signed Lee, near New Jersey. Metuchen. I've never heard of that place before in my life, but leave it, you know, I had a 50% chance, and every time I toss the coin, it comes up tails. Or whatever it was I didn't call. Meanwhile, Women Standing and Jude have taken the boots. They've begun to be placed across the street from our local gun dealers' establishments, and yes, I'm awakened to the many numbers of them. If one searches, there are private homes licensed to sell guns of all sorts, which I find even more disturbing. To be honest, today, I've not felt led to stand at these private homes. I wouldn't if I were you. Gun humpers are terribly, terribly delicate and fragile things, and they start shooting at the least provocation. Oh, and by the way, the news has come out during the program that Bobby Crimo has been officially charged. Lake County, Illinois, State's Attorney Eric Reinhart announced the initial charges. Reinhart said Lake County will never be the same. If he's convicted, he could. Sometimes I just despise verbs. He could, which is different from will, if convicted, spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. Illinois, which had proven to have a horrible, horrible, horrible problem with sentencing innocent people to death, eliminated their death penalty in 2011. And it's funny, those, you know, he apparently was a real live red flag type. Highland Park police went in 2019. They confiscated 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword from Crimo's residence. Because back in 2019, according to a family member, Bobby Crimo had threatened to kill everyone. But there was no probable cause to arrest Crimo, just take away his sword. Well, when swords are outlawed... And in 2019, there was also no evidence that he possessed any firearms. He was only 22 at the time of the massacre, so that meant, he only became eligible to buy firearms last year. Now, one individual also reported in 2019 that Bobby Crimo had tried to commit suicide. And once again, similar to what we heard coming out of Uvalde, a medical examiner said some of the people suffered unspeakable wounds that were, based upon the experience and training of the medical examiner in question, like wartime injuries. And he dropped his rifle so that he could make his escape. And they pulled DNA evidence off the rifle. Oh, God. And expected, beyond the 7 counts of first-degree murder, there will be dozens of more charges. Wonder how they'll treat him in prison. Where's the maximum security facility or facilities? And is it Joliet? Is that still open? Vice President Kamala Harris was speaking at the National Educators Association summit in Chicago, curiously. And speaking there, she called on the Congress to, quote, have the courage to act and renew the assault weapons ban. She went on to say there's no reason that we have weapons of war on the streets of America. We need reasonable gun safety laws, and we need to have Congress stop protecting those gun manufacturers with a liability shield. Repeal it. Yeah, you remember the gun manufacturer's liability shield. You probably remember that it was voted for not only by all the Republicans, but by some, Democrats. And at least one, independent. Hey, thanks, Matt. Matt actually added a little bit to it. So we got $15 to go to meet Rico's challenge. Thank you, Rico, and thank you, Matt. Now, he said, I threw you 25 instead of 10. I went for a hike instead of going to the Museum of Modern Art, so I would have spent that and more at the museum. Instead, I spent it on your art form. Oh, damn, Matt, that's so kind. You know, it is kind of an art form. It's 3 hours of performance art. Good, bad, indifference, but it is. It's 3 hours of performance art. It's not just it's not 3 hours of just 20-second readers. I know how to write those. But thank you for recognizing that, Matt. It's really kind. And I mentioned that he couldn't, Bobby Crimo couldn't purchase weapons until he was 21. Well, his 21st birthday came and he got busy. He bought at least 2 rifles and a total of 5 firearms. I think for some people it becomes kind of a compulsion. It's not a chemical addiction as such. But it is. It's a compulsion. And I'm not a behavioral health professional or anything even vaguely related to it, but could we use the word compulsion to describe these people who just can't own enough firearms? What other word is there? Hobbyist? Collector? Well, I have a firearms lifestyle. Some people scrapbook. I have gun safes full of firearms, because they really are a liquid asset. I mean, if you need money in a hurry, you can sell your weapons pretty quick, and there's somebody right there wanting to buy them. I mean, I know I have known people who took that position, that they are, that in a place like West Virginia, they are extremely liquid assets. It also, it also is a function of the fact that you can sell guns, you know, one owner to another owner, no licenses, no background checks, no nothing. And that's how some firearms enter the stream of criminal commerce. Oh, going back to the Akron cops, that's what I thought. They carry, their sidearms are semi-automatic pistols. That means you have to pull the trigger every time to fire it, but once you've fired the first round, the trigger pull isn't nearly as much, I don't think, on the second and subsequent rounds, 17, 18, 19. It was in 2015, Flavio found out, doing a little research, that the Akron PD carries 9mm semi-automatics. And in 2015, the Akron City Council approved legislation to buy a brand new 9mm semi-automatic pistol for every officer. 480 pistols, $36,000 worth. And there it is. I had a feeling I knew what they were carrying. Akron will save at least $156,000 thanks to a program that Glock is offering to law enforcement agencies through Saturday. This was 2015 again. The city will trade in the department's existing pistols, which are 12 to 13 years old, in exchange for the newest version of the weapons. The normal cost for the new pistols would be about $192,000, but because they're doing a trade-in down at... never mind. The new pistols would be about $192,000, but they're only paying $36,000 because they're trading in the old ones. Kind of got to wonder what Glock was doing with the old ones. Because something makes me feel like they probably weren't just melting them down. No. Yeah, I said I wondered why Beto O'Rourke was still trailing Greg Aspott. Lee said, don't you know, O'Rourke is going to take our guns and we can't vote for a Democrat. I wish you weren't so damn right. But you are. And so we've got $15 to go on Rico's challenge. Thank you, Rico. And let's go and check in. Let's go over and check in with, with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. I have had the day. Have you ever had one of those days where you just should have stood in bed?
More than I can count.
I'm a reasonably well-adjusted, happy-go-lucky, positive, friendly person, aren't I?
I would say so.
Today, I don't know if you ever used to read Little Abner, but there was in that comic strip, there was a character who always had a dark cloud over his head.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, today, I don't know why the dark cloud decided to come visit me. I go down to the post office to buy a money order, to put in an envelope, put on a stamp, and send to the landlord. And for reasons known only to the universe, I put in my little card in the chip reader thing, hit the 4-digit pin, had no idea who I was. Tried it again, had no idea who I was. Tried it again, had no effing idea who I was. Tried it one more time, and it said, you've tried too many times. So I got locked out of the thing. I had to come home, reset my pin, which seems to be working correctly. I talked to a nice fellow named Gene at the card place, and he talked me off the ledge. But I'm telling you, technology is going to screw us all. You talk about guns, that's just one facet of technology. I mean, we're a long way away from the powder in the horn, and not the horn radio, but the powder and the horn and the plunger and the musket days. I mean, technology is just going to, bits and bytes are kicking our ass all over the field. And I'm tired of it.
It can get extremely frustrating, but I will add as a note, there is powder at the horn. It's a pressed powder. It's in a compact, and I use a shade called porcelain.
Is it Lady Esther face powder?
You can apply it. You can either use a damp sponge or you can use the dry powder puff.
Or in the case of older ladies, a trowel will usually work. I'm sorry. I'm worn out by this. If that's all it takes for me to get worn out by a little snafu that could happen to anybody, but I'm telling you, I've got to go tomorrow, and I'm going to go to a different post office. I think the guy at the card company said that places where you wouldn't expect the readers to be so shabby, like a major chain store and, you know, a U.S. agency, a pseudo agency called the post office, you wouldn't think they'd have the crappy readers. But sure as hell, according to this guy, the places that you'd least expect have the crappy readers. So I'm just going to go to a different post office and hope for the best.
Well, you know, a lot of the little card readers around here in the Rippy Marts and whatnot, they have a message taped across the machine. Tap does not work.
What do you mean tap?
Well, a lot of cards have like RFID chips in them, or proximity chips, so that if you just tap the little card reader gizmo, the transaction goes through without having to stick it in the slot or slide it down.
I've seen those. You're right.
And they're really convenient if the machine works. Tap reader don't work. Don't even try it.
Well, do you still have the option to swipe or insert?
You can then insert your chip and you're fine, but it's a convenience, and it's supposed to be kind of touchless, and I like it. But tap don't work.
Now, is Apple Pay a tap technology, or is that a...
It kind of is.
Okay.
Because you hold your phone close to the thing, and... Yeah, there you go.
Well, maybe I'll just get up with the 21st century, Robin, and... just go ahead and Apple phone everything or Apple Pay everything. I'm just telling you, I'm worn out. I was going to do some laundry. I may go back to bed.
But you're usually up all night.
Well, not every night. Some nights. I'm still bummed out, as everybody else is, with this madness, this latest edition of madness. And I hate to be a realist here, but nothing's going to change.
Don't you hate saying that?
Well, I do. You know me. I'm the relentless optimist, or I used to be. The artist formerly known as the relentless optimist. And here I am. I don't know. It's just maddening.
Well, it is that, to say the least. And it's grim. And it's infuriating, too, Scott.
I mean, I even try to exercise a healthy attitude and a positive attitude. I'm going through my day singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a, and...
Yeah, probably. That's a problematic tune, and the movie,
well,
too, and...
It wasn't so much...
Find another upbeat tune, Scott.
The fucking little bluebird on my shoulder left a little calling card, and it didn't... It had no print on it. It was... Well, there was some... Oh, never mind. I try to have a happy, upbeat, positive attitude, and look at me. I'm a shell of my former self at this point. Anyway,
I kind of understand.
I didn't mean to vent.
Yup.
But I had to talk to somebody, and I don't know. I tend to think that it is all hanging by a slender thread.
Well, you know, I was kind of wishing that, because I'm guilty, and I think a whole lot of others of us are too. I'm guilty of asking, you know, going back to Columbine or going back to Sandy Hook. What's it going to take before there was some sort of outbreak of basic decency? You know, pro-life decency.
Well,
I mean, the fact that the same people who bray about taking away reproductive choice from women because they're pro-life are the same assholes who won't do a damn thing to try to keep fourth graders from being blown into chutney.
And they're also the same assholes who are, get this, they are pro-life in big capital letters, in brilliant colors, but yet, if I rob a bank and shoot somebody, and I go through the justice system, and they say that I've got to sit down an old Sparky, I don't mean our friend Duncan, I mean old Sparky, the plug-in chair.
Yes.
Okay. You know, they're right on, they're just rah-rah, and they've got their pom-poms out, you know, waiting for the midnight execution out in the yard.
We're going to have us some justice. Have the lights dimmed?
Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute, something's wrong with this picture. How can you be claiming yourself to be pro-life when you want to kill people? I mean, I think Lenny Bruce said it. If Jesus had been around in this century and had been put to death in the 20th century, we'd all have little gold electric chairs instead of crosses on a chain around our necks.
Yeah, and I think it was Dick Gregory originally who said that and later on, the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, talked about Christians walking around with crosses and said, you know, what if in the wake of the Kennedy assassination, everybody took to wearing little sniper rifles around their neck? Just trying, because, you know, what Bill Hicks pointed out was, well, you know, it's just because we're remembering Jesus. Yeah, just remembering JFK, Jackie!
Yeah, and how do you think that makes Jesus feel? You know, everywhere he looks, there's a fucking cross.
Right, and he's like, no, I'm never going back. Fuck that.
Worst fucking day of his life, you know. Bob DeLong had a fine dinner the night before, and damn. You know, a knock comes through the door, and you know, uh-oh. And he can't be the spokesmodel for M&M's, because the damn M&M's keep dropping.
Falling through his holes in his hands, yes.
Jesus. I'll be all right. I just, you know, normally I don't go for two calls in a row, but I just needed a vent.
No, I understand. It's the, well, the need can be strong. God knows it happens to me, too.
But otherwise, everything is tickety-boo. I mean, so I guess I shouldn't complain so much.
No. It isn't tickety-boo, though. I mean, is it?
Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's never going to be not. It's always going to. How would I say that in reverse? It'll never be tickety-boo. That's a simple way to put it. There's always going to be something that's going to bug us and trouble us and get people killed and, you know, hungry and homeless and stuff like that. But you would like to think that after all this time with human beings, how many people have been around since human beings first populated the place? We've had billions upon billions of human beings, and you would think that we would get it right, or even a step or two closer to right after all this. But here we are. Here we are.
Everything in this handbasket.
Well, I don't even want to think about that. Because then I don't want to rush into old pineapple rut.
No. And by the way, I need to send out some thanks real quick. Rico's challenge has been met, and we are now $90 away from being fully funded for a full day of broadcasting. So basically what happened is we finally got finished with last Friday, and we are $100 into yesterday, $110 into yesterday. And so $190 finishers yesterday, $300. So I guess we're like $490 for tomorrow. But thank you so much to our anonymous friend who contributed. For those who cannot do so, which I thought was a lovely gesture.
I don't know if I'm in the cannot do so category or not. I think if the guy at the other end of the phone was being straight with me, and he sounded like a straight ahead sort of fella, I will go ahead and kick in $10. Now, that's a provisional.
Oh, no, Scott, the day you've had, don't even, I would be surprised if you were in the same room with that goddamn card.
No, I'm seriously, I'm going to do it because I always try to kick in at least that much every month, and sometimes more if I can. But I want to, one of the ways that you can get rid of the negativity is by doing something positive. And I think it would be a positive thing, even that minuscule amount, that's $10 less that you don't have to raise.
Well, it is, and it's not minuscule. There's no such thing as minuscule around
if
here.
If the card works.
See, that's the, yeah. Hey, and you know, we're forever talking about TV, and I got to mention something. I have never watched Yellowstone. I've had, you know, Tracy and Sparky are all, you know, all about Yellowstone. I guess maybe at some point I'll watch it now. But, God, I'm watching 1883. And Annette and I have watched it together, one episode per night. We're not binging. There's only 10 episodes, so we're just kind of pacing ourselves. But we watched episode 8 last night, and I bawled. I mean, I couldn't, my vision was blurred from the tears.
Now, isn't this the follow-up program?
It's the prequel. It's the prequel, too. It's about one of the ancestors of the one of the characters whom I don't know in Yellowstone.
And where is it playing? I think you told
it's on Paramount. It's on Paramount.
Okay.
And I think a couple of years ago I would have just watched it and went, well, that's sweet or that's nice. No. Last night we watched, and I was just and I was.
Well, what prompted the that?
Oh, it was a love scene. And it was all it was just I don't want to but oh my God, I mean. It was, you know, you cry the. If you ever saw, you remember the late 60s version of Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, I love that film.
Did you? Yeah, I remember bawling. Wow. I mean, the tears were just flowing. And it's like, oh, look at all this emotional availability I've got now. Yay.
Well, you know something? That must be going around because last night, I had MSNBC on as I was puttering around the old Shea Guru, and they reran a program that was on a few months ago called Love and the Constitution about Jamie Raskin and the impeachment and the death of his son. I'm telling you, Robin, that just grabbed me by the heart, and I did shed a few tears. I mean, that poor man trying to preserve the fucking country And loses his son on the last day of the year.
Oh yeah. And then when you sort of consider that in light of the fact that marginal trailer queen likes to routinely trash him, there's no decency in that thing.
Well, there's no, you know, if you gathered up what little decency there might remain, you could fill maybe 2/3 of the way a thimble, and you know how small a thimble is, Philly.
Yes, you know? Yeah, I do, and.
But I watched.
And have room left for a grande half calf latte macchiato with I know.
Three caraway seeds and a program director's heart. You know. To quote or misquote Fred Allen. But I'm telling you.
Three caraway seeds.
No. He said, how did he put that? You could fit. He was talking about the sponsor, not the sponsor, but the network executive.
Right.
And said something about you could fit in into the navel of a flea the three caraway seeds from a program and a network executive's heart.
That's anyway. Good. Well, I can't give any spoilers for episode 8, and you got to watch episodes 1 through 7 for it to matter.
Now, God. Do you have to watch Yellowstone first?
No, I don't know. I don't know diddly about Yellowstone. But this was, this was beautiful. It's just gorgeous.
Well, I don't know. In the times that we're going through, I don't know if I need stuff, more additional stuff to make me cry. I don't know what, maybe I was in a vulnerable state or the shooting or just a cumulative effect of everything else. But I normally don't react that way.
And sometimes it's just too damn much. By the way, Ron and Raleigh asked, have you ever noticed the crowds at executions are very similar to the crowds that would come from afar to see a good old-fashioned lynching? Concession stands, photographers to record the event for posterity.
Yeah.
If you've seen 2001, all those proto-humans dancing around the obelisk, what, with that bloody femur in their hands?
Oh, yeah, the eighth scene at the beginning of the show, yeah. You know, I have never been able to get my head around that movie, and I have tried. And it's the only Stanley Kubrick movie that I've never really been able, it doesn't click like...
Oh, it's interminable. I have gotten all the way through it. I think we had to watch it for the film, yeah. No, it was like, I think it was a popular American culture class, and it's like, ugh. And nothing helped. I mean, the design, the groovy 70s futuristic furniture that,
Now, you notice that AT&T was still around. And even in the future, you don't get your dime back when the call doesn't go through. What's wrong with these people? You get on with the operator, and the operator says, well, may we have your address? And you know full well that they're going to send your dime back. You're going to get 10 cents worth of stamps, postage stamps. And you can't put them into a phone slot.
I remember being a teenager traveling to Italy and being absolutely baffled when I got telephone tokens back in change for my, with my 20,000 lira note.
Oh, wow.
Of course, the lira is long gone. By the way, Frank in Iowa said, hey, Robin, did you hear about the 3-year-old in Coralville, Iowa, who was shot and killed yesterday? No report on any good guy with a gun there.
Well, what happened? No, I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't. I'll have to look it up after the program. That's just horrifying. But I'm glad you called in because, at least you got a chance to blow off a little bit of steam after your delightful day. And by the way, I've had the same thing happen. It won't take the. And then you have to call and you do the reset. And it's like, well, why did I just go through all of that?
And you know something? I don't know if you ever have to call customer service about anything, but it seems rarer and rarer these days that you get a person on the other end of the phone who, first of all, knows what the deal is and is straight with you. And actually, you feel better for
him. Yeah, hello, what is this Wells Fargo you're calling about?
And I told him, I said, you know what? I don't know if it's within my power to do it, but I'm going to speak to someone in charge there and get you a more comfortable chair, a substantial raise, and a balloon bouquet. If it's within my power to get those things done for you, because you've been so good at, not evading the questions, but actually telling me what the deal is. So that fellow, I mean, I don't know about other customers.
Well, you ran across somebody who actually was able to do their job, and that's a nice thing. And yeah. Well, Scott, you take care, all right? We'll talk soon.
I will, and watch your little inbox there, because a goodie will be coming your way to move you just this much ahead in the Horn fundraising effort. You're like Sisyphus with that fucking rock.
Oh, that rock.
Right. Why wasn't it a Nerf ball? You could kick that up to the top of the hill. And
well, because the Greeks invented tragedy. That's why. And then, you know, he gets the rock to the top of the hill, and there's a guy strapped to it with somebody with a raven eating the liver out of him.
Oh, by the way, I'll let you go after this. I sent you an email earlier today of a C-SPAN program that I watched the other night. And I want you to watch that because I think you'll get a lot out of it. About the, remember that ancient mechanical device that they found?
I saw that, the Antikythera device.
Watch that show, man. That or lady, that is a that. I mean, that guy knows his stuff. Some a Greek professor, I don't even remember his name, but man, he knows the history of that deal and just explained it from soup to nuts.
How fascinating!
Now I'm hungry. Yeah, watch that if you get a
chance. Yeah, you mentioned the soup and the nuts. Well, the barbecue here is just really dandy. I've been eating barbecue all day. It's almost like I've been on a keto diet or something.
Barbecue. I love barbecue. I wish Arthur Bryant were here.
Oh, I know, I know. That's your gold standard for barbecue, Arthur Bryant.
Well, yeah.
My gold standard is right out in my backyard.
Well, I'll come to your backyard then, and I'll bring a bottle of sauce, and you know, I'll dab a little behind my ear, and you can dab a little behind your ear to feel special. Or something. Did she hang up? I don't know.
No, I'm right here. Okay. Sounds good, Scott. You take care.
Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. And to end on a positive note, I did get the card working. And in this nasty old universe, sometimes it's little things that, you know, with the help of people like Gene, that you can have just a little, there you go, attaboy or attagirl. You know, so I'm counting my blessings. I won't name them.
Right, unfortunately, the list is longer than we probably think at first blush.
Yeah, I think so. Well, take care.
Talk to you soon.
And we'll do it again whenever we do it again.
Sounds wonderful. Lie, you little SOB, lie!
Yeah, Pinocchio, you son of a bitch, you little wooden SOB. All right, take care.
Later, bye. Everybody, Scott in San Diego. Note coming in from Sumon in Arizona. Yesterday's question regarding the AI bot. I was listening to the podcast from yesterday. You asked a question. Does the Microsoft bot just go around and find that the most prominent person is a white supremacist racist? Paraphrasing. I tried to find some literature on the bot. I think the way the bot was programmed was to crawl the social media, learn the most prominent characteristics of the posts, and mimic their behavior. The problem with this approach is the 80-20 rule, i.e. 80% of the problems are caused by 20% of the people, machines, etc. Unfortunately, it turns out that in social media, the most vocal minority is responsible for most of the posts or arguments. Also, even more unfortunately, the most common frequency of posts increased from about 1 per day to 8 before the election. You can imagine how these posts were like. I think we all remember. My understanding was that the bot was not tuned to take frequency into account, rather just the volume. So, as you put it, it took just 24 hours for it to crawl the social media and learn to be racist, you know, and a Nazi. I fear for our future. And one last thing on the way out the door. We'll go to Twitter for this. Our pal John in Central PA made me aware of this. Since we've been talking about children and guns and the people who don't care about the children because they love the guns more. Well, this thing. Holy mackerel. This is a member of the House of Representatives. Her name is Debbie Lesko. And she's running unopposed in her district. This is Titanic Tuesday, and this doesn't get much more Titanic. Debbie Lesko really, really does love her grandchildren. You're about to find out how much she loves her grandchildren.
Arizona is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. I rise in opposition
to H.R. 2377. I have 5 grandchildren. I would do anything, anything to protect my 5 grandchildren, including, as a last resort, shooting them if I had to protect the lives of my grandchildren.
She loves her grandchildren so much she would shoot them to protect the lives of her grandchildren. By God, somebody put on the Lee Greenwood.
Democrat bills that we've heard this week want to take away my right.
To shoot her grandchildren.
To protect my grandchildren. They want to take away the rights of law-abiding citizens to protect their own children and grandchildren and wives and brothers and sisters. This bill takes away due process from law-abiding citizens. Can you imagine if you had a disgruntled ex or somebody who hates you because of your political views and they go to a judge and say, oh, this person is dangerous?
That kind of sounds like it's on the record in the Congress of the United States that this woman's dangerous.
And that judge would take away your guns, lean on the side of conservatism, take away the guns, without that person even having a knowledge that there was a court hearing that would take away their guns. This is wrong. When Republicans were in the majority, we actually passed legislation that was signed into law that would have prevented mass shootings.
No, you didn't.
These bills would not. We need to join together, Republicans and Democrats. I hope they can do it in the Senate and get something done that actually saves children's lives.
Okay. She would shoot her grandchildren to save her grandchildren. And this is the rhetoric, this is the reasoning, this is the logic of the White Wing Party of the United States of America. And so I think we're going to stop there. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for sharing that, John. I appreciate it. Just wow. So thank you to all of you who tune in. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Tomorrow's fundraising goal will be $490. We took a bite out of it today, thanks to Rico for getting us started. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, with yours truly and the magnificent Tara Devlin. And then I'll be filling in again for Malloy tomorrow as we wish him speedy recovery. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please, please ask your member of the House to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. It costs you nothing, and yet for nothing, you get one of the biggest somethings that could ever happen in this tormented part of the country. Please. And please stay safe. Get your booster. Wear your mask in crowded areas. This thing's on the uptick. It's nasty. Still nasty. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, if some purple-suited, really pale woman walks towards you,
hollering about how she loves her grandchildren so much she'd shoot them. Well, avoid that woman like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.